opportunity for us to come today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, and to be able to come to this table that has been prepared by your Son for us later today. And we pray all that we do glorifies the name of Jesus, for we come in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare.
song this morning is 213. 213. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Stand as we sing, please. We'll sing it through a couple times.
Is in this place.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful morning. Let the children come, please. I am excited to see some smiling faces today. Good morning. Come on down. I'm not Bob Barker, and you wouldn't know who that is, but come on down. Good morning. What you got? A what? Pokemon, really? That's a little past my time, but sounds exciting. Hey, what have we been talking about the last few weeks? We've been talking about different signs, like dogs wagging their tails, like what? That's right, we talked about stop signs, and they tell us what's going on. Hey, I've got a sign. That's right. You have an amazing memory. I am so happy to hear that. Good morning. Says I'm not awake yet. So I've got a sign. It's a ring. Maybe some of your parents or your neighbors or somebody has rings. This is a sign of my love for my wife and a covenant we have with God. God gives us other signs too, and I want to talk about one of those today. Long time ago, and you might have heard this story, there was a big, big flood. Do you remember that story?
Yes, Noah.
That's right, Noah and the ark. Well, God wasn't happy with the world, so he sent a big flood, and on that ark was Noah and his family. What else did he have on the ark? That's right. Some days I feel like I can sit in the pews with you guys and let him tell the story. I think it's wonderful. All right, so he did that. He flooded the earth, and after it was over, he made a promise to everybody. He made a promise that we would not have a flood again. You know, I would just drop the mic if I can. I said it's a wonderful day and to praise the Lord. You're right. And that's what I wanted to talk about was rainbows. So God sent a rainbow as his promise to us that we would never have another flood. You know, I'm a weatherman. You may not have known that. So the last few times when I told you it might snow, God had sent me a sign and told me to tell you it might snow. All right? So I actually studied rainbows when I was in school, and I passed with flying colors. All right, some people got that. All right, what type of bow cannot be tied? What do you think?
A rainbow,
that's right. All right, so God gave us a rainbow. So from now on, every time you see a rainbow, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that it's God's promise to us that the rain is going to stop. All right? Thank you for helping me today. You are such a pleasure, all of you. And you're nice and sparkly today. I like that.
Yeah, you put it on makeup too.
That's a blessing. Hey, can we say a little prayer before you guys head back? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful kids in this room today. This room is full of praise. It's full of joy and full of glory. And we give thanks for all things that are good. And we especially give thanks that you gave us a sign. You gave us a rainbow as a promise that we would not have more floods. And for that, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great day. See you, Travis. I give you one of those too. It's just such a wonderful place to be. I love this place. Hey, real quickly, before prayers, I want to thank everybody for the well wishes for my wife and I. Shelley does have stage 2 cancer, but she had that portion of her colon removed, and all the outlook is wonderful. So we give thanks and we sing praises. So it's wonderful news. There are a lot of people that aren't doing so well. Dale, it's good to hear that you're recovering well. I'm sorry to hear you had a fight with your rose bush this morning, but I'm glad you're here and it's a wonderful blessing. I know Priscilla's having a tough time. Vicky's still having a tough time as she recovers from her surgeries. So not everybody is on the up and up. I visited with Gloria Mate yesterday and also with Joe and Ann, and they struggle as they're not able to get out like they want to. So please, if you get a chance this week, give someone a call, or better yet, stop by if you can. We're also thinking about Marion, who's still in the hospital recovering from her procedures, and as she awaits some tests, we have a lot of people that could just use a good word. So please, if you get a chance, pick up the phone or go visit and say hi to them and see how they're doing.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We come before you as our Heavenly Father, as the great one who looks after us, takes care of us. We thank you for all the things that you do for us, the provisions of life, and especially for the gift of eternal life in your Son. And we thank you that we can pray this morning, that we can communicate with you. We know that this is a great gift that you've also given to us, and that we can share our concerns with you. We can share our thanksgivings. We can share our joys. We thank you for the many times that you've answered our prayers. And we thank you for the times that you've been patient with us and worked us through difficult times. And we know it's all because of what you've done for us and because of your Holy Spirit that abides within us and around us. And we pray this morning that you would be with those we've mentioned here today and those we have on our prayer list that are struggling with health issues, overcoming surgeries and procedures, that you would put your healing hand upon them and strengthen them. And above all, give them a cheerful heart and give them the assurance of knowing that things are going to be better for them as time goes by. And we pray, Father, that as we're here this morning, that we are listening to you. We're intent upon being obedient to you as we hear this in this service this morning and realize that not only we do it here, but it's something that we must go out and do in the world. We must go out and be an example for others to show who you are and what you've done for us that you can also do for them. And we pray above all as we come this morning, we do your glory and honor as we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 626, The Lily of the Valley. 626, stand as we sing.
Thank you.
It's always good to see smiling faces. Yeah. Coming to church has always been for me a happy, joyous time. I don't. Some people, it's drudgery. I don't know why, but examine your motives. A letter written by a father who wanted to apologize to a certain young man for not allowing him to marry his daughter. He said, "Dear Marty, I have been unable to sleep since I broke off your engagement to my daughter. Will you please forgive and forget? I was much too sensitive about your mohawk haircut, tattoos, and pierced nose. I now realize motorcycles aren't really that dangerous, and I really should not have reacted the way to the fact that you have never held a job. I'm also very sure that some other very nice people live under the bridge in the park, too. Sure, my daughter is only 18 and wants to marry you instead of going to Harvard on a full scholarship. After all, you can't learn everything about life from books. I sometimes forget how backwards I can be. I was wrong. I was a fool. I have now come to my senses, and you have my full blessings to marry my daughter. Sincerely, your future father-in-law. P.S., congratulations on winning the lottery." Right motives for prayer. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 this morning. If you look to turn to your Bible, of course, there's an outline available in your bulletin. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 as we continue the Sermon on the Mount. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." What is prayer? It is the greatest gift that God has given us after our salvation. It is having fellowship with God. It is communicating with him. It's a one-on-one conversation. And we have that privilege and that honor to be able to do that because of what his son Jesus did on the cross for us, that we can have fellowship with God again, and that we can go to him with our concerns, with our joys, with our thanksgivings, whatever. He wants to hear from us. My grandfather, Hughes, we called him Pa, was a very dedicated Christian man. He was a soul winner. He raised three sons. Two were Baptist ministers. My dad was the deacon. And two grandsons, me and another grandson, my cousin, in the minute. He's retired chaplain, Southern Baptist chaplain for out of the Army now. But Pa was quite an influence on people that he met. When I was at Bethel Baptist Church, that was my first church after seminary, one of the deacons in his church, his name was Bill. Bill had been my grandfather Hughes' next door neighbor. And Bill's wife and children came to church where my grandfather was at, but Bill didn't. Bill was not a Christian. And my grandparents raised my cousin because her mother died when she was small, and she ended up, her dad remarried, and his second wife didn't want nothing to do with her, so my grandparents raised her. And she told me, she said, my grandfather would come home, and he'd see Bill out in the yard doing something, cutting grass or whatever, and he would say, "I got to go in and pray for Bill." And he eventually led Bill to the Lord. And then Bill started attending my grandfather Hughes' Sunday school class. So Bill was a deacon in a church now where I was at Bethel. And he said, let me tell you about your grandfather. He said, we'd be in that Sunday school class. And he said, let's pray. And he said, I would bow my head and close my eyes. And when your grandfather started to pray, it was just like God was in the room and he was talking to him. That's prayer. We can pray amiss. We can pray the wrong way. We can pray for the wrong things. We can pray for the wrong motives. It is possible to pray and only speak to yourself. It is possible that he might not even hear our prayer. If you're out of step with him, and you got some problems in your life, you've sinned and so forth, and you're being belligerent about it, you're being rebellious, he don't want to hear it. He just doesn't want to hear it. The wrong motive for prayer, praying to be seen of men, that's the hypocrite's prayer. The places where men pray, they love to be seen. In public, in the synagogue, in the streets, in public places. Pray in public because they love recognition. They do it to have their pride stroked. They like to be petted. Praying for the promise of men will fail. Man's praise is temporary. Man soon forgets and moves on. Man's praise becomes commonplace, becomes routine and common. Man's praise is powerless. It cannot answer prayer. It puts man's ability before God's. Man can do absolutely nothing about the spiritual needs of the heart. Man's praise is not to be the judge of one's life. It is God who does the judging. So our prayer is to God, and not for man's approval, but for God's approval. I have learned this years ago in my ministry, right off in the beginning. I'm not going to please man. I'm here to please God. Amen. And that should be in each and every one of our lives. We should be living our lives to please him and not man. The right motive for prayer is praying to be heard of God. Jesus said that place is in the closet. No, you don't have to go in the clothes closet or your bedroom closet or linen closet or whatever and close the door. But it's talking about being in a private place, being alone. To get alone with God, to get alone with your Heavenly Father. Prayer is like what you do every day. When you were growing up, you were a child. Who did you check in with? Where were you going? Where you been? And so forth, your day. You had to check in with your parents, didn't you? We need to check in with God every day. We need to do it where we're undisturbed. Avoid interruptions and disturbances. When I pray, there's no TV on, no radio, no nothing. The phone is set aside. It's just me and the Lord in quiet. And that's the way it should be. To concentrate and to meditate. It's a two-way conversation. Now, how many times we go to the Lord and we pray and we give him we may thank him for some things and then we give him a gimme list and then we say amen and go on. That's only half the conversation. We need to take time, give God time to reply to us. Shut up and listen. Give God time to work in your heart. Reason? God is in one secret or private place. We can only meet God in secret or private. It is heart-to-heart meeting and communion with God. God is not interested in a show, but in substance. Take the time to pray. Make time. Learn to discipline yourself. Depending on the situation, most times like now, when I get all ready to come over here, I sit down in my chair, I open up my Bible, I go over my outline one more time, I pray a little bit about it, then I sit there and I pray to God about the service and things and so forth. And then on the way over here, I'm talking to him and I'm praying about things. And then there are times when I'm quiet alone that I talk to him. And of course, the last thing I do before I go to sleep is pray. We need those times. We need to do it. The reward? We will receive open blessings. The strength and presence of God will be open in your life. People will know that you walk with Him. A believer's prayer will be answered. Sometimes it's immediate. Now, I'm going to share three things with you about immediate prayer in my personal life. First one, last year, the first 7 months, I did filled in at an ex-Methodist church for 7 months, and then their sister church, I filled in off and on with them for a little over 3 months. They were about a couple of miles apart. I would do one service at 9:50. I would run over to the other church and start that one at 11 o'clock. Of course, I'd just do the same sermon, so that didn't happen. But that time had run out. It was August. I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm praying to the Lord for another place to serve. It wasn't long after I prayed, the phone rang. Warren was on the phone. and from that, here I am now. He answered that. When I was at River Shore Baptist Church in Portsmouth, one morning I got up preparing to go to church. I got up, was in the shower. And right in the middle of my shower, and I'm washing down, and I said, "No, Lord, I haven't done a revival anywhere lately, and if you'd want me to go do a revival here somewhere this summer, why, I'll go." So I got ready, went to church, and my office was back behind the sanctuary, back in that, like that door there. My office was back there, but over out in the hall outside of the sanctuary was the secretary's office. And I hadn't been sitting there long, and I heard the phone ring, and about a minute later, the secretary come and stuck her head in my office. She says, "The director of missions is on the phone. He wants to speak to you." I said, "Okay." So I picked up the phone. And he said, "Everett, let me run this by you." He said, "How would you like to go to Africa and preach revival?" I said, "Well..." I said, "After what I just prayed, I got to say yes." And then I said, "Well, isn't this going to require money?" And he says, "Here's the situation." He said, "There was a lady in the association at one of the churches wanted to go, but her health, she was not able to go. So she's given the money for somebody to go in her place and said only half of that money's been used. So that other half is available to you." And he said, "I'm sure the church would be wanting to help you and do their part to send you." It happened, and I went. Here's the third one. When I was at Bethel Baptist Church, my son was about 14 then. He was in a community basketball league. And one of the boys on his same age that was on the team, his father happened to be the coach. His name was Billy. Billy came home feeling real bad one day. And time the mother got him checked out, he was going into a coma. He had spinal meningitis. He was at King's Daughters Hospital there in Norfolk. It's right. It's almost tied to the hospital. There's a street between them, but there's a walkway between them about the third floor up. You can walk between the two hospitals. And Billy was there in intensive care in a coma. And it was Friday night. I happened to have chaplain duty. And I got through all the things I needed to take care of. And I thought, I'm going to go over to King's Daughters Hospital and I'm going to check on Billy. And I went over there, and in the waiting room was Billy's parents, which they knew me. And I talked to them for a little bit, and they told me that people in churches all up and down the coast were praying for Billy, and my church included. And then I stood up and was getting ready to go, and I says, I'd like to have prayer with you before I go. And they said, okay. So I prayed for them and for Billy. And as I finished a prayer, something came over me. I opened my eyes, I looked at them, and a big grin came out on my face. And I pointed my finger at him and I said, he's going to be okay. And I'm just as sure as anything. The next morning they were supposed to start brainwave tests to see if there was anything there. Well, he started waking up. In a few days, he was out of the hospital. And within a week, he was back to school and back to his paper route. It was immediate answered prayer. Now, sometimes God says, wait. We have to wait. And sometimes, and we have to be able to accept this when he says no. But he will always answer. Now, sometimes I know there have been things I have prayed for and gone on, and then it might be a few weeks later it comes about. And then the voice says to me, there's the prayer answered. But that's the way it is. There's reward. There's blessings. Three great rules for prayer. Rule one, do not do empty repetition. Don't use memorized prayers. Should be thought behind the prayer. When I first entered the ministry and I was in seminary, and I had my first church while I was in seminary, and one of the courses I took was supervised ministry. And my supervisor was the associate pastor at First Baptist Church here in Henderson, North Carolina, and I would go talk with him during the week about my ministry and different things. And I don't ask me why. I thought, well, I got to do like some of these other ministers. And I write out this prayer on Sunday morning. And I shared that with him. He said, Everett, that's not you. That's not you. I threw that away and I started just as always from the heart and with inspiration. So don't use written prayers. Should come from the heart. Ritual prayer, same prayer at the same time and the same occasion over and over again, becomes empty repetition. It's kind of like some of these churches. I don't know if you've been in one, and I've been to a few of them, and they do these praise songs. I heard one minister call them 7-11 songs, 7 words 11 times. We do praise songs in here, but it's, you know, just we do the verses, and that's good. But sometimes that's repetition. Avoid religious phrases and words, and don't get wordy. Here's a preacher in Red Rock, Alabama, prayed this prayer. Oh, Lord, give thy servant this morning the eyes of the eagle and the wisdom of the owl. Connect his soul with a gospel telephone in the central skies. illuminate his brow with the sun of heaven, possess his mind with the love for the people, turpentine his imagination, grease his lips with possum oil, loosen his tongue with the sledgehammer of thy power, electrify his brain with the lightning of the word, put perpetual motion on his arms, fill him plumb full of dynamite of thy glory, anoint him all over with the kerosene oil of thy salvation, and set him on fire. Amen. I found that and went to do. God doesn't want vain repetitions, heaping up empty phrases, babbling like pagans. Those prayers are meant to impress men. It doesn't impress God. Rule number two, do not speak much. Let thy words be few. The length of prayer has nothing to do with devotion. It is the sincere heart. Prayer should be short, simple, and to the point. My grandchildren, we're somewhere. Get ready to eat. They'll say, call on granddaddy. He's short. Well, and, you know, some people, and I've seen some of these ministers break out into a rendition that they just go on and on and on. And it's, you know, it's short, simple, sweet, to the point. Rule number three, trust God. God knows your need before you ask. We pray to show our dependence upon God. God is the believer's father. He's our personal relationship. It's intimacy. Let me ask you this. How would you react to a teenager's request, O thou who doest clothe me and feed me, who provideth shelter and a place for me to rest, I beseech thee, lend me the car. Prayer is not intended for us to use God, but it is to put into a position where God can use us. Amen. And we pray for his will be done, not ours. And when you pray in his will and what's required, then that's what's going to happen. God desires to hear from us. He wants to, like I said earlier, he wants us to check in with him. Prayer is the medium through which God blesses and moves among us. George Mueller, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, founded an orphanage in Bristol, England. One day he looked down the street, noticed hundreds of homeless children on the streets, and decided to do something about it. He started an orphanage. He knew it would take money, but he only had 2 pence in his pocket. The needs and problems were many. He just trusted God. He made the declaration that prayer was going to have to fund and fuel his orphanage because he could never do it without the power of God. He started the orphanage and used prayer to guide every step. At the end of his life, he had cared for over 10,000 orphans with only 2 pennies. He started every morning at 3 a.m. with prayer and never missed a morning. His prayer journal contained over 3,000 pages and some 30,000 answered prayers. Some answers were miraculous. A milk truck broke down in front of the orphanage while he was praying for milk. Bread was delivered free when he had run out of bread. George Mueller is remembered as a mighty prayer warrior. It is through prayer that we're saved. Of course, we call it the sinner's prayer. It doesn't have to be exact what it is. We ask God to come into our life. We ask him to forgive us of our sins. And we accept his Son as our Savior, and therefore we will receive eternal life. And then we promise God that we will follow him for the rest of the days of our life. God answers those kind of prayers. Have you made such a prayer in your life somewhere along the way? Do you know him? Is he your Heavenly Father? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for Jesus' teaching on prayer. And we know, just as we do now, we're talking to you. And we're thanking you for that gift. And thanking you for being who you are, that you taking care of us and watching over us. And especially giving us the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sin. We thank you for the gift of heaven. And we pray that as we go each day, we're ever grateful and thankful for it. And that we thank you in our prayers each day. And if anyone here is not sure, has not made that prayer, does not know for certain that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, would receive him today as we come in his holy and precious name. Amen. Where he leads me. Amen. You may be seated. As always, when we come to the Lord's table, we need to come rightly. And that is, have come and confessed of our sins and shortcomings. And coming the right way, as Paul had instructed in the scriptures. And so we're going to take a few moments for us to go in silent meditation. You can go to prayer, open your heart to the Lord and ask him if there's anything you've done or said that you haven't asked for forgiveness for that you need to this morning to forgive you. And if something you've done you haven't asked for forgiveness, you know, ask for that. Yes. That we come openly and properly to the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then I will close it. Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for being a loving and understanding God. And thank you for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the times that you help us through life and that someday we will spend eternity with you because of what you've done in your Son. And help us as we go each day to be a proper witness in the world, that others may see Jesus in us and want to have him also. Thank you for this opportunity to come to this table For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hold before you now this bread, the bread that represents the symbol of the body of Jesus, and also our body, the body of the church. We thank you for that, and that body that was given on the cross, and a body that was given as a life example for us to follow. Thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Took the bread and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, was given for you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we now hold before you this cup, a cup that was a symbol of the task that Jesus had to perform upon the cross, that of the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. We know there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And we thank you that his shedding of blood was a once for all. There need to be no more. And thank you for his willingness to die for us and to give us eternal life. This we pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Then he took the cup and he said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for the remission of your sin. After the meal, and before they went out, they sang a hymn. So we're going to stand up. We're going to sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Then I have the benediction. I'll be here today. Okay? I'll be here today. So. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today. And may we take that presence out into the world and share it. And thank you for the time to be at this table that Jesus prepared for us. And may we always remember him and what he's done each and every moment of our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.